He was trying to stop me writing, the well-known literary critic who gave me the piece of advice that spurred me on through all the years of struggling and failing and then struggling again to put publishable words on the page. Not that he'd read any of my work, mind you. Beyond a handful of emails about an unrelated matter, he'd never seen a word I'd written. For all he knew, I might have been a Booker winner in waiting. And yet he presumed to tell me how I should approach, or rather not approach, the thing I most wanted to do. I suspect it was that he was tired after years of editing an illustrious new writing magazine. Of all the mountains of stories that must have piled into his office and latterly his inbox, mine was the most common, that of the ambitious young wannabe writer searching for a way to make her mark. No doubt he'd encountered it 1,000 times in print and at parties and on the faces of the myriad hopeful interns who passed through his office. And so, when I began to unfold my tale, blushing furiously at my audacity, instead of reading me on my own terms, he jumped ahead, assumed he knew the ending, and talked to the person he imagined there. When I think back on it now, I realise that, of course, he meant to be kind. He thought he was saving me years and heartbreak. He believed he was consoling me. And, probably because our paths crossed through the, unbeknownst to him, part-time office job I was doing in order to be able to spend the rest of the week writing, he assumed that the dream I had confessed was already as good as dead. Though he spent much of his time looking at the world through literary prisons, he was unable to picture this, that a young woman living in London might choose to forego the comfort of a full-time salary in order to spend as many hours as possible playing with words. And so, drawing himself up in front of his computer, at least that is how I always envision him, he wrote those immortal words in his reply to me. "You have to be independently wealthy or married to a doctor or a dentist to make a go of writing." I remember the flutter of excitement as the email arrived. I remember the bitter disappointment as the words sunk in. But most of all, I remember the fresh surge of determination as I turned back to my screen, applied myself once more to the keyboard, and set out to prove him wrong.